this morning. The message that God has put in my heart, even last week, it was the message that I had prepared until God sort of gave me another direction to go through. So this morning, I want us to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 to 35. Can someone read and help me, please? Amen. That's enough. Thank you. When we read that passage, John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, it says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so that you might love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Children of God, these next few weeks, God willing, if this is the message that God is directing me to go through, I'm going to speak a message that is really difficult for me to preach, primarily because I don't feel worthy to preach this message. Some of you might be saying, every week you preach a difficult message. But this is exceptionally difficult even for me. It is not a message that I preach lightly. Even when God gave me this message, I said, "Lord, please don't let me preach this. Find someone else to preach this message." The Spirit of God told me, "I have chosen you. For now, let it be." So this morning, I'm humbly submitting myself to the Word of God because I don't feel worthy to stand and preach this message. But God is the one who makes us worthy. The message that I will be giving us is about loving one another. Next, I don't know how many times I'm going to divide it, but I would like to divide it into 3 weeks. I want to talk about love, I want to talk about betrayal, I want to talk about forgiveness. All of this under the theme of loving one another. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Over the last few weeks, we have been going over different things in the Gospel of John. One of the things that we were preaching about earlier was we were going to preach on, the last time I was on the Gospel of John, I was talking about with regards to the general body meeting that Sunday, we preached about submitting to serve one another, because that is the true leadership that God wants us to have. Leadership should be submissive to one another. It is not one to lord over other and tell another person, "This is what I command you to do, because I am the leader of this place." In fact, the Spirit of God is leading us to serve one another, to be humble towards one another, to think of the other and regard the person higher than ourselves. This is Jesus predicting his betrayal. So the passage we are looking at is John chapter 13, verses 18 to 38. John chapter 13, verses 18 to 38. So for the next 3 weeks, God willing, I don't know if we'll go more or less, but this is the passage we'll be looking at. So immediately after Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and he told them, "You need to serve one another." In verse 16 we see, "No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." In verses 18, Jesus changes track and he says, "I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. But this is to fulfill this passage of scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me." We know this passage because we have studied it. We have looked at it. This is not the first time we are reading it. But when we look at this passage, particularly we are paying attention to Judas Iscariot, because Judas Iscariot is the one who betrays Jesus. All 4 Gospels mentions Judas Iscariot betraying Jesus. But it is the Gospel of Mark that goes into some of the specific details of how Judas betrays Jesus. But that's not where I want to go. I want to set the sort of foundation to hit the betrayal topic next week, God willing. Today I want to focus on John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, the one that we read. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. In Kerala, how do people know that we are disciples of Jesus Christ? By us wearing white clothes and white saris, right? If we go to a shop in India and we go shopping somewhere and we see someone else, some of the ladies there, not wearing any ornaments or necklace or earrings, there's a small smile that comes in our face and we look at that person. I think that person is a Vishwasi. Huh? We don't know who that person is. We don't know where they're from. We don't know their land, but so we will say, I think that person is a Vishwasi. Kanda oru Vishwasi pole thonu. And somehow we will also smile at them. When they pass by, we will smile. And they will also smile back because they are thinking the same thing. We have recognized each other to be believers. In Canada, that is not possible. When you go into the store, so many people don't wear ornaments and earrings and stuff. But do you look and say, I think that person is a believer? No. People here, whether they wear makeup or don't wear makeup, whether they wear ornaments or no ornaments, you cannot tell who's a believer, who's not a believer. But even then among us Malayalis, it is exceptionally nice when we meet another believer. Even if we don't talk to them, it's nice, that person is a Vishwasi. And we feel good. Another Vishwasi is also there with us. Especially after church Sunday service, if we go to a restaurant to eat food, and we see another person wearing suit and white shirt and coat, and the auntie is also not wearing ornaments. So it feels good. It's something that I've noticed. I don't know if other people do the same thing or other churches also experience that. But I know about us Malayalis. This is something I've noticed. When I see another believer, even if I don't know that person is a believer, there's certain joy that comes just from meeting another believer. But Jesus here is saying in verse 35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. A few weeks ago we were talking about what is the importance of following Jesus Christ. What is the basic foundation of being a disciple of Jesus? Discipleship 101. We focused on that for 4 or 5 different weeks and we talked about the basic understanding of it being a disciple. But whether you choose to follow Jesus or not, whether you have become a disciple of Jesus, whether you deny yourself, take up the cross and follow Jesus, the mark that makes you stand out as a disciple is not because of the quality of your clothes, it's not the quality of the ornaments you wear, it is not the quality of how your face is shining or not shining. We say that sometimes. You know, his face was telangifying, it was shining. You know, but that is not the marker according to the Bible of who is a believer. The marker according to the Bible of who is a believer is the way you love one another. Jesus says, by this everyone, not just believers, not just worldly people, not just Hindus, not just neighbors, not the Muslims, not the atheists, every single person in this world should know. You are a disciple of Jesus. How? By the way you love one another. Do we love one another? Yes, we do. We love one another. When we come together in worship, there's a certain joy in being fellowship with one another. When we break bread and when we finish the service, we stand around to check in with our loved ones. We say, how are you doing, brother? How are you doing, sister? Last week, I didn't see you. Last week, this happened. Last week, I heard that something happened to you. How are you doing? How is everything going? Why do we do this? Because we love each other. We care about each other. We care about the persons we are. The Bible teaches us before, at least pre-pandemic, we used to be, I don't know if this church did this because I came during the pandemic time, but after Holy Communion, it was a customary practice to greet each other with a holy kiss. Vishuddhachuminam. Greeting each other with a holy kiss. Men will give each other holy kiss and women will give each other holy kiss. This was a common practice. In fact, in some churches in India and the Middle East, the pastor goes and gives all the men holy kiss. I don't know if that's a common practice here. Depends on the church size for sure. You know, that is the few poor worship people have to keep singing for a long time. Right? So there is a practice to go and kiss each other on your cheek. This is biblical. It says greet each other with a holy kiss. Us children, we did not like, especially when I can tell, like, when I was a child, I didn't like these kisses that some people will give. So especially when they come, I will go as far as I can from their face, go like this and hit their shoulder. That's enough for me. That's my holy kiss to that person. Okay? Because I didn't like it. Maybe you kids are different. Maybe you guys like the uncles and aunties coming and kissing you. Okay? But I know for me personally, I didn't like it too much. But growing more and more, I learned that this is valuable because it is showing that we are one family member. You see, kisses were only shared among family members. You don't go to a stranger and go and say, "Hello, Sahodara, let me kiss you." No, we don't. That means that there is a relationship between you two. If there is no relationship, that person will say, "Who are you?" Right? This also happens with us when we meet family members. Sometimes, you know, when I go to India, I grew up in the Middle East, in UAE. I go to India maybe once in a while, and once in a while, maybe an uncle and auntie will be coming from America or from Bangalore. They'll come to visit Kerala. They'll meet me. Mone, nine kandettothi naala, nee oru pinju vayidappo, when you were a baby, I held you. You peed in my hands, and they say it with so much joy. I'm like, oh my goodness. And this person will come and give me a big hug, tight hug, give me a kiss in both cheeks. I'm like, I don't know who this person is. But then I will say, auntie, mommy and papa have told me so much about you. So good to see you. We respond that way, but we have no clue who that person is, right? This is most prevalent when people are getting married. On the day after marriage, people will come one by one by one to come and greet us. The husband and the wife, the groom and the bride is there on stage greeting each other. They'll come and they ask us to smile. Oh, it's so good to see you. Congratulations. And it's like, so happy to see you. We take a picture there. After they leave, I'll tell my wife, "Is it from your side of the family?" She'll say, "I thought it was from your side of the family. I have no clue who it is. Oh, but we have a picture to say this person was there in our album." Even if our children ask us who these people are, we don't know. We had to go to our parents to ask them, "Who is this person?" "Oh, this is just a neighbor who lives down the street." Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, you cannot give a holy kiss to somebody without having a relationship. Does that make sense? In the Jewish culture, it's the same thing. In the Middle Eastern culture, it's the same thing. You greet each other with a holy kiss only if you know or you're related to that person. The reason why the Bible teaches us to greet each other with a holy kiss, it means that you are family members. You care for one another. There is a relationship between you and the other person. If a family member, even if you have never met that family member before, comes and kisses you, you will tolerate it because they are your family. Children of God, what I'm trying to say is there is a certain establishment of love that happens between believers. God wants us to love one another. This is the marker of a true disciple. Love one another. This is easier said than done because we, in this church, we love one another. There might be a few people who we might love from a distance. That's the word I'll use. We still love everybody, but we will love from a distance. We will not approach that person much willingly. But if that person approaches us, it's like, in the presence of the praise Lord, and then we... But there's a love from a distance, and there's a love that comes close. The love that comes close is the person where, after church, we want to go and meet that person. We want to check in with that person. We want to talk with that person. And that's the love that comes with close relationship. But not everyone in the church needs to have a close relationship. We have people within our own family members who we don't have close relationship with. We go to their house and visit in India because we have to. If we don't go to their house, the whole street and the village will know that we didn't go to their house. We are going out of obligation. And before we get there, we tell our children, don't say this, don't say that. If they ask you about your grade, Just say, ah, I'm doing well, no problem. If they ask you specifics, just excuse yourself. Just be quiet. Where onnum parayan poyilla, angottu odille, ingottu odille. We tell them, our children, particularly in a house where we have to be a little bit careful, they're still family members. We still love them from a distance. We will go to their house, but we have a distance between them. That is natural. That happens even within families. Even when you go and visit one another, not every house you are willing to visit. Some of them you will be very close to. Some of them you just want to step in and say hi and, okay, I came for namesake and I'm ready to leave. Okay? Anyway, I'm not here to speak against those kind of relationships. This is not what I'm talking about, love one another. Jesus says in verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another. It's not a new command. It is there in the Old Testament. But what Jesus makes, how does Jesus make it new? As I have loved you, so you must love one another. We are okay loving one another. No problem. The problem is when Jesus says we have to love one another as Jesus has loved us. That's the question. If I ask you, is there anyone in church that you do not love? No one will say, yes, it's me. I have against this brother and sister. No. No problem. You love one another. Even if you love that person from a distance, you still love that person. The question that Jesus is saying is not that if you love one another, do you love one another as I have loved you? That's the real question. Do we love one another as Jesus has loved us? There's a remarkable difference between loving somebody and loving as Jesus has loved somebody. Jesus' love is a self-sacrificial love. Jesus' love is a love that dies for other people. Jesus' love requires you to die to yourself and put the other person in front of us. I want to use sort of an illustration to drive this point. Imagine I'm a father and I'm grown up. I'm a father, actually. So I am a father, and imagine that my child has grown up. I have a house. I have a good mansion. I've got 3 or 4 children. And everything, you know, they're still growing up. They're teenagers. I'm working. My wife is working. We're earning money. We're providing for the bills. We're providing for the clothes. We're providing for their education. We're providing for everything, for their food even. If my children come and tell me, Papa, you on the poda. Go away. I don't like you, Dad. Will I tolerate it? Eda, yan kaanikkunnundo nine. Let me get to you. Why? How much I have loved you. How much I have showed you love. This is the disrespect you're showing me. The reason why you're breathing is because I'm alive. I'm the reason why you have life in your body. The reason why you have a shelter is because of me. The reason why you have clothes is because of me. So we say, Ramoni, ninde petti pack cheditte porthu povu. Nu parnja petti pack cheditte porthu povu. And then when we see that, immediately again the father's blood will boil and say, ah, you only take things that you possess out of the house. What does that child possess? Nothing. Even his underwear is something I bought for him. Right? Parents, you understand what I'm trying to say? This is what we feel that our children should respect us. There's certain obligation that our children should do. We do everything for them. We clean after them. We look after them. We care about their education. We care about their future. We will die sacrificially for our children. True or not, parents? Any cost that it comes with regards to our children, we are willing to pay. Even the cost of leaving a good job to secure our children's future. Many of you have made that decision. Not for yourself, but because you want your children to have a good future. This is the desire and the love of a parent. Sacrificing everything for the future of their children. This is a fatherly love, a motherly love. I would go so far as to say a heavenly love. It is natural to have that kind of love. Self-sacrificial. Loving to the point of even at the cost of yourself. That's the kind of love that parents show their children. But if the children don't respond back, can we tolerate it? No. No parent will be able to say, if my son comes and says, Papa, you sit there quietly. Okay, Moni, I will. Will I do that? No way. Papa, you leave the house. Okay, Moni, I will give the house in your name. I will leave now. Will I do that? No. But, you know, this is what Jesus did. Jesus came to the house that he built and got mistreated by his own children. I don't know if you guys are understanding what I'm saying. The Heavenly Father built the house on earth, came into the house, and the children told him, we don't want you. Get out! Go die somewhere! Jesus didn't say, yen aara nya kaanikya. You go. Jesus did not say that. The love of God is significantly different from even the love of a father and a mother towards their children. That's the kind of love that God wants us to show. It's extraordinary to the point that it makes no sense to a human being. Why would the creator of the entire universe, Heavenly God himself, who commands all authority from every single creation in the entire universe, come and listen to his children cursing him, spitting at him, hitting him, saying, do you know who we are? And even to the point of killing him. You see, Jesus had authority at every point of his life. In the Gospel of John, we read that Jesus laid down his life not because someone demands of him, but because he lays it down willingly. You see, the love that Jesus commands us to have is the kind of love that Jesus has towards his children. A self-sacrificial, heavenly father kind of love. That is a love that we don't even show towards our own children. We are not capable of doing that kind of love. If our children disrespect us, if our children curse us, if our children slap our face and spit on our face, no single parent here would tolerate it. And rightly so, because we shed our tears, our blood, and our sweat for them. But Jesus, even though he literally shed his tears, blood, and sweat for us, he tolerates us. What kind of love? What manner of love is God's love? And this is what Jesus is saying. A new command I give you. Love one another. It is not a new command. It is there in the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament. But what Jesus qualifies this new commandment as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Let's take a few verses. Let us go to Leviticus chapter verse 19, verses 17 to 18. So this is the Old Testament version of this. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. Can someone read it for me? So this is the commandment that God gave to his Israelite people in the Old Testament. So this is the same commandment that Jesus uses in the New Testament, but he's qualifying it. In the Old Testament, the commandment was like it. Verse 17, do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in their guilt. Verse 18, it says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. See, in the Old Testament, how people were called to love is to love your neighbor as yourself. Love the person who's sitting next to you just as you would love yourself. It is not a new commandment. In fact, in the New Testament, when Jesus asked people to define what are the two laws that sums up the law of the prophets in the Old Testament and all the commandments in the Old Testament, every single Pharisee, ruler, scribe, teacher of the law knew, even the rabbis knew, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Not a new command. It is there in the Old Testament. Jesus comes and says, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love one another, not as you love yourself, as I have loved you. Oof. That is not easy. How can a human being do this? Even if we die for our children, we will not be able to tolerate this kind of love. How can we then do it to the brother and sister in church? It's easy for us to die for our children. We've already made that decision for us. If the cost comes and someone says, I will choose to kill you or your child, gladly any parent will give up their life for their child. No questions asked. No problem. But when it comes to this, love one another as Jesus has loved us. That's a tall order. I have to go quickly with time because I have to respect the time as well. Let's read 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Can someone read that for me, please? Amen. What is this love that John is talking about? The same John that wrote this gospel, the Gospel of John, is telling in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, this is how we ought to love one another. How? How? How should we love one another? Lay down our lives for one another. Children of God, it is easy for us to lay down our lives for the people that we love. It is not easy to lay down our lives for the people who are our brothers and sisters. Some of you cannot even tolerate your own actual blood brothers and sisters. You don't even talk to them. You hate them. You don't want a relationship with them. You don't want them to come visit your house. How then can you love your actual brothers and sisters in church who are not your blood brothers and sisters? I don't want to preach this message, really, because it's also difficult for me. I'm not preaching from a place of, I have got this all figured out. I really don't want to preach this message. But Jesus is forcing me to give this message, and I have to be obedient to him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 onwards. Let's read. We are going to just finish this chapter. I've got a couple of verses. We're not going to read that. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 onwards. Let's read. Verse 17 onwards, I will read. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if your heart does not condemn you, we have this confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his son Jesus Christ and to love one another as he has commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the spirit he gives us. See, this is the marker of a disciple. How do people know that you are a disciple, you are a fellow believer? Not just believers should know this. The people who are atheists and agnostics, if they look at our church, will they say that the way they love one another is how Jesus has loved the church? Can you truly say that? I can tell with confidence, I do not love you like Jesus loves you. I can tell you with absolute confidence, I don't love any of you as Jesus loves me. 100% confidence. I don't love any of you the way I ought to love you. I will not die for you. That's why I'm saying I don't have the right to preach this message. Even with my own family members, I have issues. So I'm not qualified to preach this message up here. But this is the truth of God's word. Love one another as Jesus has loved you. Lay down your life for one another. Children of God, if verse 15, anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. Children of God, there are some of us who hate our own brothers and sisters, not our actual siblings, but brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh my goodness, I don't know if I should say this. We are supposed to love the people who have left this church. They are also believers. They are also our brothers and sisters. If we do not love them and we hate them, we do not have eternal life in us. This is what the Bible says, not what I am saying. This is not a popular message. This is not a message that will get me to preach week after week. In fact, some of you guys will say, enough, his preaching is done, Madhi. Week after week, let me tell you, if this message is hard, wait till next Sunday and the Sunday after that. The next week, I'm going to preach about betrayal. The week after that, I'm going to preach about forgiveness, if God allows me and this church allows me to preach. What I'm saying is, God requires us to love sacrificially. It is easy for us to love one another when we love them, when we take care of them. But is that enough? What difference is there between you and the people of the world if you love the people that you love? Don't the worldly people do the same? Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48. Can someone read that? Okay, so let me come back to this passage. This is a tough passage. Again, I understand this is difficult for us, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect. This passage is teaching us that we need to be remarkably different from the people of this world. How do people know that we are disciples of Jesus? By the way that we love one another. You go to any club, you go to any Sikh Gurudwara, you go to any Hindu temple and ask them, do they love one another? They will say they love one another. You go to the Muslim mosque and tell them, do you love one another? They'll say they love one another. What is special about Christians? Why should people look at the church and say, these are the true disciples of Jesus? Not because we love the people in this hall, but because we love our enemies. Because we bless those who persecute us. Because we are willing to die for the people who are our enemies. The ones who would slap our face. The ones who would spit on our face. The ones who would say, you stupid fellow, go and die. Love that person. Can we? Can we? The people who betrayed this church, can we love them? Easy to love the people who stay behind. Can we love the people who left us and hurt us and grieved our children, grieved our hearts, and grieved the Holy Spirit? If you can't, there is nothing special about you. In fact, you are no different from the people of this world. There is no marker saying that you are a disciple of Jesus. The disciples need to be marked by a special relationship with God. This is how people of this world should say, these are my children, these are my disciples. The way they love one another is the way that Jesus has loved us. This manner of love is a love that can only be brought about by the Holy Spirit. That is why in the Gospel of John, in the letter of John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, the one who keeps God's commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. The same Spirit that lives in Christ, the same Holy Spirit that we claim we have Sunday after Sunday, worshiping him in truth and in spirit, worshiping him in tongues. That same Holy Spirit is the one that equips us to love one another sacrificially, just as Jesus has loved the church. This requires a laying down of rights. Just like Jesus laid down his rights. Who is Jesus? The creator of the entire universe. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. How many of you have slapped him? In fact, all of you have crucified him with your sins. It is your sins that have kept Jesus on the cross. You crucified Jesus. You spat on his face. You kicked him. The precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that you claim to say you love, is the one that you're hurting day after day, week after week. If he said, I am done with you, finish, there is no repentance left for us. But what did Jesus say? Forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Here's now the next phrase. Now this is the next question that will come. Okay, Pastor. So what should we do? What does that love look like? If you want us to love like Jesus, how should we do with our family members who have hurt us? What should we do with the people who have really grieved us? What should we do with the people who have betrayed us? What manner of love? How can we do it practically? Easy to do it intellectually. How can we do this practically? That I will bring about next week, God willing. How can we love our brothers and sisters who do not act like our brothers and sisters, the ones who betrayed us, the one who stabbed a knife underneath our back, the ones who are sitting in this very church and we have heard from other brothers and sisters that they're talking behind you and talking bad things about you. How do you love that person with the love of Christ? That requires the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. I'll have the Malayalam worship team come forward and we'll take the offering. Our Heavenly Father in heaven, God, you have loved us with an everlasting love. This kind of love is not one that we can fully understand with our whole body. We don't want to love like this. We don't want to love the people who hurt us. We don't want to love our enemies. We don't want to love those who persecute us. But God, if that's the cost of being your disciple, if that is what you want us to do, we lay down ourselves fully submissive to the word that you have given to us. The word is clear. The word is clear that we love our enemies, bless those who persecute us. God, it is impossible for us to do this in human standards. We can't even do this for our own children who we would die sacrificially for. Then how, Lord, can we do this for our brothers and sisters who hate us? God, help us to be truly your disciples. Mark us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to live supernaturally different lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.